I'd like to talk to you about the news today. The news. You ever wonder what's going on in the news? Sometimes I have those wonders or speculations about what might be going on in the news, and then when I find out, I wished I didn't know. It always seems like the news is about it feeds more on sensation than it does content. Have you ever noticed that? Now think about the little cartoon or maybe a little picture of a newsboy selling newspapers on the street corner and him hollering, "Extra, extra." There's all kinds of words in our vocabulary that would try to get your attention. Disaster, rampage, just all kinds of words that seem to give us the picture that something completely unheard of has happened. And it's not just the emotion that troubles me about the news. It's one thing, you know, if let's think about the things that happen just briefly that can happen in our everyday lives that are not positive, that are on the negative side. You can maybe your cows got out, and maybe they got in the neighbor's cornfield. But you know, when somebody lets you know that your cows are out, how they slant that. Not just the emotion, but how they slant that really impacts us, doesn't it? When they begin to, if they tell us, they call us up and say, "Hey, Dan, your cows has got out today. I just realized they're in your neighbor's cornfield and there's corn down everywhere." I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is not so much just the emotion, because there is some emotions there, especially if they call and they're real excited. But first off, they didn't tell me how many cows have gotten out, and the next thing, they haven't told me how many corn stalks are down. It's just they're just all over the place. They many times the news is not only an appeal or a impact on our emotions, but it's slanted and slanted. You know what I mean by that? It's tilted in a manner that causes us to think that the bad things are much worse than they really are. The speculation that it's a horrendous event, you know, that's a word that they'll use. It's something that's just exponentially more than anyone has ever experienced before. Now, when my cows got out and into the neighbor's cornfield, that's not the first time that's ever happened. It's happened many times over the course of the years that cows get in the cornfield. They like to eat corn, if nobody knows that. But there's also passion behind it. The news has, somebody somewhere probably has a reason for slanting it and for appealing to the emotions. There's a passion behind this. They're trying to get a point across. And we have many things in our society today that the news capitalizes on. They're trying to emphasize a point. They try to make things appear even a little different than they actually are. And then we say, well, we can't ever trust the news. But news, it's events that happen. The news has spurred many people over the course of the years to make decisions and adjustments in their life that if they hadn't have heard the news, or if it hadn't been portrayed like it was, they might have not made the decision they did. I've heard of people that took their own life when the stock market crashed. I've heard of people that took their own life when they got to reading the reports of how bad the war was. And maybe it was in a foreign land. Maybe it wasn't even in their country. But they got so distressed and emotionally distraught about the front lines or the headlines of the newspaper or what they were hearing and all of those things being so slanted and so passionate and so emphatic that they went and made an irrational choice and took their own life. Evil, wickedness, death, destruction, and all manner of negative things seem to be what the headlines are made out of. How many times have you ever picked up a newspaper or seen the title of a news headline that said, 75 years together, wedded bliss? Do you ever see that? Well, if you do, it's a rare occasion. It's not just because it don't happen very often, but the news don't capitalize on that. They want to capitalize on the things that's completely opposite from that. The immorality or the destruction that's happens in our world. It gets people, there's something about human nature that once human nature has been contaminated with sin, they just want to know something that's worse than they are. I guess it makes them feel better or something. I don't know. But the news is all around us, isn't it? Did you know that there were news events in the Scripture? And I've had to think about our day and age. The news is something that is instantaneous. We don't wait for a letter to come from the front lines. We can get audio, video. We're way ahead of the telegraph. I've had the privilege of mowing grass for a very elderly man when I was a young boy, and he was a telegraph operator at a train depot. Now, you want to think about an obsolete profession, that would be one today, wouldn't it? And he had that little telegraph switch that it's a little switch, on-off switch, because they just went, it was, you know, beep, 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 or whatever that was for those different letters. You know, Morse code was a little tap out. And he had that thing, and the way he showed me how, he had a couple of them left over from his days, and you could give him a sentence, and he could make that little thing, and if somebody knew what the telegraph message, you know, if they could was on the receiving end, they could have got the message. But every letter had a special little code, and he knew it. By memory. He'd done it so much, he could just tap that out. Well, we're way ahead of that now. You can see graphically, video, audio, you could be right there. You can be 10 time zones away and have an instantaneous update, almost. I mean, it's maybe a few seconds delay from what's going on to when you get it. Maybe in the middle of the day, there and 2 o'clock in the morning for you, but you can get that update. That's how quickly we get, and we get news about things that is really none of our business. news events that don't directly impact us other than causing us to worry and to fret. But there were news happenings in the scripture. I'd like to turn to 2 Samuel and read a case of it. 2 Samuel chapter 18. And notice what happened here. Absalom had endeavored to set himself up as king, and there was confrontation, and we know the story of how Absalom ended, but we're not going to focus on the whole story. I just want to get a hold of the news. So chapter 18, we're going to read beginning verse 19. It says, "Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." So the conflict between Joab, the leader of David's forces, and Absalom had come to a head, and there was conflict, and Absalom had been slain. He was no longer alive. Then said Joab to Cushai, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. So Cushai was a man that had witnessed what had happened, and he had the information. He had the content. But the other man, Ahimaaz, if I'm saying that right, did not have it. Then said Ahimaaz, verse 22, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai." And Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready?" "But howsoever," said he, "let me run." And he said unto him, "Run." And then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. So we have two men that one of them had the news, the other one thought they had something to share. And he allowed his passion, his emotion, and all of that to be able to tell something, overshadow the expediency and the reality of his necessity. Joab told him, "There'll be another day that we'll need you to run." But he said, "No, I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. Let me go." So he let him go. So he outran the other fellow that really had the news. And David sat between the two gates, verse 24, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate into the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, "If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth." And he came a space and drew near. So David, perceptive, he's wise enough to say, "Listen, if there's a man running by himself and he's running this way, he's got some news to tell us." If your phone rings and all of us have these caller ID and it's somebody in our phone book, and we look down and it's Brother David calling me, and it's at 7:30 in the morning, I would venture to say he's got something good to tell me. If he calls me in the morning, he's usually got something to tell me that's good. He may be calling to say, "I'm praying for you today," or something like that. I have this thing about, I know who's calling. The king says, "There's a man running by himself. He's running this way. He's got some tidings. He's got news for us." And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, "Behold, another man running alone." And the king said, "He also bringeth tidings." And the watchman said, "Methinketh he running, the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man and cometh with good tidings." So there's already an anticipation. He's bringing us news. It's good news. He wouldn't be running if it wasn't good news. And him as called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth and upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. Well, we know that the enemy lost, and we know that there was a big conflict going on, but I can't answer your question. You know, many times the news presents some little tidbits, and it leaves you to speculation. Many times the rash decisions people has made in life is because they've got just enough of the news that's caused them to be stressed out, and they've made a bad choice to sell all their stocks or something a lot worse. Because they jumped to a conclusion, and David said, is Absalom. That's all he's worried about. How's Absalom? And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of them that rose up against thee. So pretty much the same thing that the other man said. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, I want you to realize the wisdom that Cushai used in answering the king here. He didn't say, that scoundrel, that no account young man that tried to withstand you and usurp authority over you. He never said anything like that. He said, I believe he said it as calmly as a man could say after running all this way to tell the king something. And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. Pretty tactful, wasn't it? He didn't say anything. He didn't try to cast. He allowed the king to know the right answer, but he did it in a tactful way. You know how much most of us would appreciate the news today if it was told us in a tactful manner? You know, there's been something very catastrophic happen, but we have a plan to overcome that instead of leaving us open-ended with the thing, with the thought that it's just going to completely destroy whatever it is. The king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. So that was the news. At that time, I'm not trying to dwell on the story as much as I want us to get a handle on the news. I want us to look in Job, the first chapter, and notice here in Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. And there was a day, this talking about Job here, when Satan had been allowed to bring destruction and devastation in Job's life. Says here in verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder's brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. All three of these, There is an element of emotion here. There's an element of passion that's being triggered when they say, I'm the only one that got away from. I'm the only one that's been able to bring this news to you. And he says in verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only escaped alone to tell thee. So we have this news event. Four messengers came from four different scenes of destruction, and all of them capitalized on some of the emotions of Job and themselves too, and their passion. I'm the only one that escaped. We're the only ones that's able to give you the inside story here. That's what a lot of the news organizations want us to believe. There's some element of shock and awe. That's a phrase we have in our world today. There's an element of shock and awe here. I'm the only one that escaped. We're the only one that's telling you the truth. We're the only ones that's got this inside story about the bank robbery or the wildfire or whatever it is. We're the only ones that's telling you the whole story. Well, there's some news that we need to be aware of, all of us. And I want us to seriously consider this today, all of us. I'd like to go to 2 Peter, the third chapter. It's been in the Bible a long time, and it's not new news, but it is news. Sometimes historical things are unearthed and pulled out of the closet and portrayed as news. And it's really something that happened a long time ago, and somebody wants to give us a little different slant on it. I'm not trying to give us a different slant on anything this morning. I just want us to be aware that there's some proclamations in the scripture, and to some people it might be news. It might be something that they need to be aware of, just like David needed to be. He wanted to know, is Absalom safe? Job needed to know that all of his possessions were gone and that his children had been destroyed. He needed to know that, and we need to know this too. In 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 7, it says, but the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But behold, be not ignorant as of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. Then the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord, this is news. It's news that's been foretold to us. This is what's going to happen. Don't be ignorant of this. Don't allow yourself to be distracted by the normalcy of day in, day out living. There's coming a day, he said. Let's keep reading. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Lord, help us to realize that this is news that we need to be aware of. I'm not trying to slant it. I'm not trying to put any extra passion on it. I want us to realize and be aware that it's coming. may the Lord help us to realize that all of this that we see, I'm thankful for the rain. It looked like everything was burning up. But that's not going to be any match for this event that the Lord said. He says, all of the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I don't know what that's exactly about, other than I know that they say, I'm not an expert in this, but these rocks that sometimes hit the earth from outer space, meteorites, they say that those things have been so hot, the elements and the materials in that have melted and solidified and became so dense that a rock that's the same physical size, you know, sandstone is not very heavy if you pick it up. I mean, relatively speaking, all right, please understand. You pick up a sandstone that's the size of a football, and I don't know what it weighs off the top of my head if you put it on a set of scales, but it's got some weight to it. But a meteorite, something that come from outer space and hits the earth that's the same physical size, might weigh twice as much of that, because the elements have melted and become so dense. The materials that's in that has melted down, and it's much heavier. The density of that is much more than what sandstone is. So he says here, there's coming a day that all the elements is going to melt with the fervent heat. Verse 11 is the key for us today. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So there's an opportunity. I would like to think that when we get news, that we're also given an opportunity or a choice to help minimize the impact that negative things can have on us. And here's the thing. We can avoid the consequences of all the elements melting with the fervent heat of the judgment. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that today I can stand here in confidence telling every one of us that yes, there's coming a day. The Lord said right here, I read it to us, that a day, the Lord's not slack concerning His promises, and that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, as a day. It's. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's out there. I believe that time is coming to an end. And yes, I believe the elements will melt with a fervent heat. But there is this real challenge, and it's an opportunity for us to escape the consequences and the destruction of that. It says, what manner of person should we be? We have an opportunity to live different than that. Let's look in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and notice this is all connected with what he said, what Peter was saying over there. Let's go to Matthew, the 25th chapter. And the reality is, the news is, that there's a separation, and there's a time. Again, reading Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And let's skip down to verse 41. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But yet, we got to know that today we have an opportunity. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation? What manner? There's an opportunity today to get on the right course and the right path. Yes, the news is it's going to happen. And there won't be any news reporters that write this in a newspaper. There won't be any news reporters that publish it on their YouTube channel or anything like that, because all of that will be gone. There won't be any newspapers, I don't believe. There won't be any. But the reality is every one of us will face that. Every one of us will be there, especially if he comes while we're still walking this earth. There's only two places to spend eternity. And how we react to this news is important. How we react to the news of the end's coming, the time is running short, that it won't continue to go on. The elements, all the things we try to put together and at our place of business, we have a pile we call the scrap pile. And all the broken parts that we take off, we just put them in a pile. If it's aluminum, if it's steel, if it's cast iron, we just throw them in this pile. But there's a fellow that comes by about every 3 months, and he goes out there and he sorts it all out. He puts aluminum with the aluminum and cast iron with the cast iron and steel with the steel. And I got too many other things to do to sort it out. But he sorts it all out and gets a better price out of it. You know, the Lord wants us to sort out where we are in our lives. How we react to the news. I don't know when our scrap man's coming. A lot of times he comes in the day before and says, "Dan, I'm going to be here tomorrow and I'm going to sort out the scrap." I'll say, "That'll be just fine." I don't know that any of us will get that the day before. Sometimes when we come down to the end of our life, we realize it's very close. Maybe from sickness, maybe from age, but we realize our time is short. And we say, "Lord, help me that all manner of my conversation will be acceptable." I've been there. Watch those that came down to the end. And they were making those choices. "I want to be ready. I want to be a good soldier. I want to be acceptable. I don't want to be one of those that comes up short." The news is, we're going to have to stand before the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Begin reading in verse 11. I don't know how to convey this any better than to say the gospel message is a gospel of opportunity. It's not a gospel of consequence. The reality is that if we don't take advantage of opportunity, consequence will get us. But the gospel message is a message of opportunity. I'd like to begin reading in verse 11, chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. It says, "For this commandment, which I commanded thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that thou shouldest say, 'Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, 'Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." The commandment, the expectations for God, that God has for all of us, it's not something that we can't get a hold of. It's very simple. Micah 6 and 8 says, "What doth the Lord require thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God?" And we could, maybe someone could preach a whole message on that. But keep reading here. Verse 15, he says, "See, I set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them." Such a valuable section of the scripture. And we look on and say, oh, if the Israelites would have only adhered to this, think of what their life could have been. And you know, the news is today, there's coming a time that we're going to be called into account for our life. And the opportunity is that we have a way to dictate where our eternity is going to be. To me, there's so much opportunity in that. There is so much there is so much of a consolation. Yes, there's going to come a fervent heat. Yes, there's going to come an end of life as we know it on this earth. But the consolation is that there's a better place. I can be in that better place with the help of the Lord. I can make amends. I can get myself right with the Lord here. And in eternity, I can spend it with God, with peace, with joy, with satisfaction. Romans 8 talks about being adopted. This is the opportunity of the gospel. I don't have to have had a lineage of being an Israelite. I don't have to have a lineage of those that were raised knowing the truth. Yes, I was taught by my parents. Not everyone was taught by their parents how to live for God. I remember sitting on my dad's lap and him reading Bible stories to us and him praying with us. I remember the counsel he gave us as a real young child. I remember the guidance that he and my mother gave. But not everybody's like that. But you know, it doesn't matter. Listen to these verses. These are so valuable in my mind. It says here in 8 and 12 of Romans, he says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, not born in an environment, maybe not part of the Israelite lineage, spiritually or literally, but we can be adopted. God wants to adopt everyone, everyone in this world, the neighbors around here. He wants to adopt them to be His children. He wants them to be able to cry, Abba, Father. And it says, if children, then, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. The news is, the world's coming to an end. I don't want a drum roll. I don't want a big bang or a lot of smoke to tell you that. I want to tell you that in a tone of, with an expression that you realize that there's something better. There really is something better. There's something that we can look forward to that's beyond this world of toil and grief. It's not, the news is, the world's coming to an end. The reality is there's something better. If we will be able to come to grips with who we are and where we are and make sure there is nothing in between us. The 2 Peter 3, he says, what manner of persons ought we to be? What is it that we need to, is there something we need to make some changes in today? That's an opportunity. Today is a day of opportunity. It's the time that we can make the adjustments. You know, it's been over 100 degrees for several days in the past few weeks. They say it's going to be over 100 degrees this week coming up. That's hot. It's hard to imagine, but you know, it's a real good chance. Y'all have lived around here, some of you, a lot longer than I have. It's a real good chance that we'll see zero this winter. Right? I got a little closet at the house that's got coats in it. Hadn't put one on in quite a while, but I'm not going to get rid of my coats because I'm sure that I'm going to need them. If time permits, it's going to get cold again someday. But I'm prepared. I got some coats. You know, the end's coming. But we can be prepared. There's something better to look forward to. The Lord is not... He doesn't want us to be all down in the mouth, and we could preach another message about what we ought to do in the meantime. The children of Israel that were in captivity were instructed to the Babylonians. They were instructed to build houses and plant gardens and raise families, and all, I believe we ought to do all that. I don't believe we should all just become hermits. We ought to go ahead and live life. Enjoy the blessings of good, solid relationships and family unit. That's what God came to instigate in the beginning. Otherwise, He wouldn't have made Eve or Adam. He wanted a family. He wanted a home. He wanted all those things that we enjoy. But the news is, the end's coming. And the real good news is, we can be prepared. You know, I don't know if y'all notice this, but when you're driving, anytime you change from one state to the next, there's nearly always a bump in the road. Have y'all ever noticed that? Where one state maintenance ends and the other one picks up, they don't always do everything the same. You know, you can bump into Kansas and bump into Arkansas, and everywhere there's just a little bit of bump where one state maintenance ends and the other one picks up. But it never causes me to feel like I'm losing control when I go from Missouri to Kansas. I can just drive over that state line and feel that little bump, and whether that's exactly where the line is or not, I don't know, but I used to tease the boys and tell them that you can feel the state line when we're going across the road. You can feel that little bump in the road. You know, I believe that we can be in tune with God to where when we come to the end, transition over into eternity is just like that little bump in the road. I believe that. He says we are adopted. We're joined heirs with Jesus Christ. So why should it be anything less than just or more than a bump in the road? We made it. You know, there's something about flying. You're going down the runway. Some of y'all have flown a lot more than me, but a lot of times you're going down the runway and the wheels on the airplane is just kind of bumping and shaking, and all of a sudden you don't feel it anymore. It's because you're flying. And that's the way it's going to be. If we got our heart right with the Lord and the life's events were bumping and shaking down the runway, and then when we become airborne, when we begin to enter into the eternal abode with the Lord, all of that's going to smooth out. That's why. Don't be afraid of the news. Don't be afraid of the end. Let's look forward. We got something to look forward to, don't we? Let's be prepared. I want it to be like, when I come to the end of my life, I want it to be like, just take off. I want it to be like a bump in the road when I cross from one state line, one state into the next. You pray for me.